Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will have class number 7 from the series of You Need a New Start. And today, inshallah, we will have the class number 3 of Provision. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about provision and to learn its rules from the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In the previous classes, we learned that provision or rizq in Arabic includes all what Allah decreed for you: health, life, family, wealth, air, energy, senses, and also the spiritual provision, belief, sincerity, taqwa, love of Allah, love of Quran, love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and good manners. We also learned that the first law of provision is that the only provider is Allah. The second law of provision, Allah's provision is unlimited. The third law of provision, Allah will provide sustenance to every living creature on the earth. And the fourth law of provision is that Allah provides abundance to good and evil people. Actually, we learned that Prophet David is an example of the good people whom Allah provides a lot of provision. Today, inshallah, we will start to learn about the evil people whom Allah provides them a lot, and we will learn the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind that great provision to the evil people. The first example of the evil people whom Allah gave them abundance of wealth so that it will be the way of their destruction, we will learn about the people of Saba. We will read from Surah number 34 from the verse 15 and 19. Before reading these examples of the Quran, sisters, we must realize that the Quran is the book of the rules for the Muslims. In the Quran, there are rules which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us so that we will be aware about the reality of the worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many examples of the Quran about the evil people whom Allah provides them a lot of provision. And Allah will clarify in every example that that provision was their way of destruction because they were evil people. So the main issue is that are the people evil or good, not how much is their provision. Because if they are evil, the abundant provision will be the way to their destruction. If they are good, the abundant provision will be the way for their reward and happiness. If they are evil people, the little provision will be the way for their destruction. And if they are good people, the little provision will be the way for patience and acceptance and reward from Allah. So the winners are always the good people. The winner, to be a winner is not up to your provision. It is up to your quality. Are you a good people from the good people or from the evil people? And in order to realize these facts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many rules, many examples in the Quran about those evil people whom Allah granted them great wealth, but it was the way to their destruction, so that we learn this rule in our worldly life and we learn to evaluate the people according to their belief. Are they good or evil? Not according to their provision. We will start to read now from Surah number 34, verse from 15 to 19, to know about the people of Saba, whom Allah granted them abundant wealth, but it was the way to their destruction. Surah number 34, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse from 15 to 19. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية جنتان عن يمين وشمال كلوا من رزق ربكم واشكروا له بلدة طيبة ورب غفور. فأعرضوا فأرسلنا عليهم سيل العرم وبدلناهم جنتين ذواتا أكل خمط وأسل وشيء من سدر قليل. ذلك جزيناهم بما كفروا وهل نجازي إلا الكفور. وجعلنا بينهم وبين القرى التي باركنا فيها قرى ظاهرة وقدرنا فيها السير سيروا فيها ليالي وأياما آمنين. فقالوا ربنا باعد بين أسفارنا وظلموا أنفسهم فجعلناهم أحاديث ومزقناهم كل ممزق إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور. Indeed there was for Saba a sign in their dwelling place.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Indeed, there was for Saba a sign in their dwelling place, two gardens on the right hand and on the left. Eat of the provisions of your Lord and be grateful to Him, a fair land and an oft forgiving Lord. But they turned away, so we sent against them Sal al-Arim, flood released from the dam, and we converted their two gardens into gardens producing bitter, bad fruit and tamarisks and some few lote trees. Like this we requited them because they were ungrateful disbelievers, and never do we requite in such a way except those who are ungrateful. And we placed between them and the towns which we had blessed, towns easy to be seen, and we made the stages between them easy, travel in them safely both by night and day. But they said, Our Lord, make the stages between our journey longer, and they wronged themselves. So we made them as tails, and we dispersed them all totally. Verily, in this are indeed signs for every steadfast, grateful person.
Thank you. Actually, Sister Saba is the name of a community living in the south of Yemen, in a fertile land. And actually some of that land still remains until today. They were highly civilized, and they were able to make good use of their water resources. And they were blessed with much rainfall. They were able to build a great dam known as Ma'rib. In this way, they were able to retain water in the great quantities which they used as they needed. The gardens to the right and the left symbolize the splendid fertility of their land, which gave them beauty. Therefore, they were signs to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who provides them with everything. And at that moment, they were recommended of two things. Number one, to make full use of what was granted to them, and to be thankful to the giver, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question was, were those people, the good ones, who appreciate these great provisions and thank Allah for them, or they were the bad people whom they never thank Allah? The answer is in verse number 16. The people of Saba, they turned away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were the evil people. So they sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they were the evil people, Allah punished them. Okay, again and again, sister, these are the rules of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant people a lot of provision. Then it is up to them. If they are thankful to Allah, believing that He is the one who provides them, trying to obey His rules, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the provision and will increase it. But if they are the evil people, whom they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, they will be punished. Okay, this is the rules of the creator of the heavens and the earth. So the question is, what is the punishment for those people? Allah took away the source of the provision, the dam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let loose raging stone carrying torrents to destroy their dam, and its water flooded the whole area. With the dam no longer functioning, the land dried up. Again and again, sister, we must stop here. Okay? This is the example of or the reality which happened to that people. They have fertile lands, they have a lot of provision, they are not thankful to Allah. Immediately the punishment will be there. What is the punishment? Destroy the source of the provision. Okay, so sisters, this fact is applied to everyone on the earth. So let every one of us try to remember and remind herself. Maybe at a time in my life I was having a good provision, but I was not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I noticed that provision, I noted that I lost that provision. I don't know how I lost it, but I lost it. Okay? And I was always questioning myself, why I lost that provision? The answer is in these verses of the Quran. We lose the provisions because we are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must learn from this story. This is lesson number one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them, okay, that they learned the source of the provision dried up completely. Okay? Naturally, instead of beautiful gardens, they now had only a desert in which only a few wild trees bearing no good fruits. You know, instead of the beautiful garden, they have a desert. Then, in verse number 17, okay, Allah is clarifying that, like this, we requited them because they were ungrateful disbelievers, and never do we requit in such a way except those who are ungrateful. You know, sisters, this is again another lesson. Allah is clarifying that He will remove the provision from every human being who is not thankful to Allah, the provider. This is the rule in life. Okay, and this is the rules of the Quran which we must always remember. Whenever you have a provision, as I mentioned it to you, sister, the provision is whatever Allah decreed for you, a son, a husband, a wife, health, wealth, life, whatever you have in your life, you must be thankful for it. If you are not thankful, there is a rule in the Quran. It will be removed. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that Sabah people paid no heed to that first warning. They have a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your gardens now are destroyed and you are living in a desert. They don't care for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, they become again ungrateful to another provision. They had easy contact with the blessed cities, Mecca and Jerusalem. They had comfortable and safe land routes to these cities. It is reported that a traveler would leave one township in the morning and arrive to the next before dark. He can move from Yemen to Jerusalem or Mecca in one day. Journey times were short, easy and comfortable. This has to be considered as a form of Allah's provision, which they must appreciate and thank Allah for it. On the contrary, their prayers were out of arrogance and ignorance. You see why? Because they are arrogant. Okay? You are giving us safe trips. We are not in need of anything. Okay? They call on Allah for long distances. Okay? And here I will read it for you again. This is verse number 19, okay? But they said, O Lord, make the stage between our journey longer. Okay, they are the one who called for this out of ignorance and arrogance, and they wronged themselves. So what was the answer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for their prayers, so we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made them as tails in the land. And we dispersed them all totally. You see, sisters, totally. Okay? Verily, in this are indeed signs for every steadfast, grateful person. Again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them like refugees scattered throughout Arabia. They also become the subjects of the discussions in other gatherings. Whenever people will gather, they will remember the people of Sabah and they will say, remember those ungrateful people, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with the safe routes, Allah provided them with the fertilized land, but because they were unthankful to Allah for this great provision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them refugees scattered throughout Arabia. No land, no provision, no community, nothing. Why? Because they were not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the story of the evil people who follow Iblis. And were not thankful because Iblis also is not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not thankful for Allah's provisions and blessings. And this was the way to their full destruction. So, yes.
There is proof that at that time, Saudi Arabia and Yemen were fertile lands.
Yes.
Before this happened.
Yes.
They were not.
Yes, that area, not Saudi Arabia. This is the south of Yemen. Yes, it was a fertilized area, and they built a map, and the name of the map, they built a dam, and the name of the dam, Sad Ma'rib. You know, the dam of Ma'rib is a known one in the history of the Arabs. You know, it is a great dam.
Now, the land of Saudi Arabia is desert. Does it say that Allah sent provisions in the form of
oil? Now
the swamp is also rich.
Yes, this is, I tell you one thing. This is a good question, but you know, Rumelia, this is another story. Okay? Allah sent another provision, but those are different people. Now we are discussing those people of Saba because this is a story in the Quran which, you know, has a meaning and lessons for the Muslims to realize. But you can apply the same example to your own life and to the life of every human being and to every nation. Whoever Allah will provide with a provision and they are thankful, Allah will make it, you know, good for them. Whoever Allah will provide, whoever is a nation, human being, community, whatever, Allah provides with a provision, whatever provision, oil, water, oil, rain, whatever provision, okay? If they are thankful, Allah will keep the provision. If they are not thankful, the provision will be the way for the destruction. Now, inshallah, you will learn another known example in the Quran about the evil people whom Allah provides them a lot, so that this abundant provision will be the way for their destruction. Okay? Again and again, sisters, I want to you to realize a message that when you observe evil people having a lot of provision while they are sinful, be sure that that provision will be the way for their destruction. The provision is a test for destruction. Okay, this is the rule of the Quran, which you must realize it, and it will be the rule until the day of judgment. Evil people with a lot of provision equal to destruction. And the destruction, okay, is a big word. It has a lot of meanings. Okay, and we will learn this, inshallah, with every example from the Quran. Now, inshallah, we will read about that great arrogant tyrant Qarun in Surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas, from verse number 76 to verse number 82. Surah number 28, verse number 76 to 82. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة أولي القوة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين. قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون. فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم. وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون. فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين. وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر لولا أن من الله علينا لخسف بنا ويكأنه لا يفلح الكافرون. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. From 76 to 83.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verily, Qarun was of Musa's people, but he behaved arrogantly towards them, and we gave him of the treasures, that of which the keys would have been a burden to a body of strong men. Remember when his people said to him, "Do not exult, verily Allah likes not those who exult with riches, but seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you, the home of the hereafter, and forget not your portion of the lawful enjoyment in this world, and do good as Allah has been good to you, and seek not mischief in the land. Verily, Allah likes not the mufsidun." He said, "This has been given to me only because of the knowledge I possess." Did he not know that Allah had destroyed before him generations, men who were stronger than him in might, and greater in the amount of riches they had collected? But the Mujrimun will not be questioned of their sins. So he went forth before his people in his pomp. Those who were desirous of the life of this of the world said, "Ah, would that we had the like of what Qarun has been given. Verily, he is the owner of a great fortune." But those who had been given knowledge said, "Woe to you! The reward of Allah is better for those who believe and do righteous good deeds. And this none shall attain except those who are as-sabirun, the patient in the following of the truth." So we caused the earth to swallow him and his dwelling place. Then he had no group or party to help him against Allah, nor was he one of those who could save themselves. And those who had desired his position the day before began to say, "Know you not that it is Allah who enlarges the provisions or restricts it to whomsoever he pleases of his slaves? Had it not been that Allah was gracious to us, he could have caused the earth to swallow us up also. Know you not the disbelievers will never be successful? That home of the hereafter we shall assign to those who rebel not against the truth with pride and oppression in the land, nor do mischief by committing crimes. And the good end is for the Mutaqin."
Inshallah, we will learn indeed the story of Qarun, and actually we will learn it in three scenes. The first scene is the scene of the arrogance at its height and the sound advised ignored in favor of corruption. this is the title of the first scene, Arrogance and Corruption. Okay, Qarun belongs to Musa's people. Allah has given him abundant wealth described in the surah as treasures. In order to try to imagine how great were the treasures of Qarun, you must know that the carrying of the keys of these treasures represented a heavy burden even for a band of strong men. It is not the carrying of the treasures. It is the carrying of the keys of the treasures was a heavy burden for a group of strong men. So try to imagine how were these treasures so great and how his wealth was so great. And because of this great wealth, he was very arrogant and he treated his people unjustly. However, some in his community tried to stop such injustice, counseling him to maintain the path that earns Allah's pleasure. This path requires wealthy people to watch Allah in all their actions, for Allah is the one who granted them all they have. And they told him not to be proud of his riches, as to forget the one who granted him these blessings. He also told him not to neglect to give due thanks, not to treat his money as an object of extreme delight, so that he become arrogant in his treatment of other people, for Allah doesn't love those who are exultant. What is the meaning of exultant here, sisters? Showing arrogance and using their power to humiliate others. In Islam, you can be happy. You can enjoy life. But happiness has to be based on your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on your fulfillment of your responsibilities, on your good deeds. Not to be happy because I am very rich, I am arrogant, I can do what I like, I am so controlling of the affairs of all the human being. I can do everything to anyone at any time, and because of that I am happy. This is what Allah doesn't like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love those who are exultant. This means that whom they are happy because of their wealth, and they are so arrogant and they feel that they can control the life of others. In verse number 77, we will read it now again. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Those people said to Qarun that, but seek what that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you, the home of the hereafter. Okay? This is one way for the money, to seek the hereafter and forget not your portion of the lawful enjoyment in this world. Actually, sister, this is the Islam balance and harmony, okay, for the life. You can enjoy the worldly life, and also you must seek the reward of the hereafter. This is the Islamic code of life, to make the wealthy look forward to the life to come, hoping to be among the successful on the day of judgment, without depriving yourself of the share of the enjoyment of the present life. This means that I live the worldly life, I try to enjoy the worldly life, but while I am enjoying the worldly life, I am looking for the reward in the hereafter. Okay, this is the Islamic code of life. Islam is not against to enjoy the worldly life, but to enjoy the worldly life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have a good house for the sake of having a psychological support, you know, to have a shelter and to have a place to have the family, okay? To have a wife or a husband, to have kids, to have a car, to have whatever you can have to make your life enjoyable, but through halal or lawful money, and to spend your money in the lawful ways, and always to be looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the code of life in Islam. Islam is not against the enjoyment of the worldly life, and Islam is not only for the hereafter. Islam always realizes that there is a balance in the, there must be a balance for the human being. Human beings, we always like to enjoy the worldly life, so this is allowed in Islam, okay, according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the righteous people advised Qarun not to spread corruption on the earth, for Allah doesn't love those who spread corruption. Actually, sister, we must know that wealthy people can spread corruption in the form of injustice, doing what causes envy and hatred. For example, when they spend their money in a very wastefully, okay? For example, if I am a very rich person, okay, and I always like to buy the very expensive houses, cars, jewelry, okay, and then I come to the masjid with all these very expensive, you know, issues, okay, what will be the feeling of the other people? Okay? Normally, everyone will feel envy for that person. Okay? Because, you know, he is not getting the feelings of the others. Okay? When you live with the human being, you must realize their feelings. If you are extremely rich, you must realize that most of the people may be just having what they need for the daily life. They are not even rich. Okay? So, he is spreading corruption. When the wealthy people, they are spreading corruption, when they come to the poor people and they start to show them how they are very rich, how they are enjoying life, how they can have everything, while a lot of people, they don't have anything. So if I am one from those poor people, I will say to myself, I want to enjoy life as those wealthy people are enjoying. I will steal their money. I will try to do any unlawful trade so that I will get money I want to enjoy, because look how they are enjoying the life. This is how they are spreading corruption. Okay? So this is a clarification why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He doesn't love those whom they spread corruption. Number two, the wealthy people are spreading corruption when they block the money, blocking money proper use. For example, many rich people, okay, and I am all wealthy people, and I am always talking only or discussing only the Muslims, okay, many of them, they are not giving that charity. And actually that charity is the right of the poor for in the wealth of the rich, because the money basically, or the wealth basically, is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that trust to the wealthy people to test them and to check them. They will give the right of the poor in that wealth of Allah or not. Most of them, they are not giving the charity or the right. This is the right of the poor in the wealth of Allah, not in their wealth. Okay? Most of them, they are not giving the charity to the poor. They are not helping the Islamic community by building Islamic schools or building mosques or whatever. Okay? This is how they are spreading corruption, because they have a lot of money, they have a lot of wealth, but this wealth is not used in the proper ways. Okay? So such was the honest advice given to Qarun by his people. Yet in one sentence, you see, sisters, again and again, I want you to get that feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sends the warning, then second warning. Right, Allah always sent to those wealthy people whom they are tested with a lot of provision. Allah will send for them people to tell them, remember Allah, be thankful, try to give that charity, don't be unthankful, don't spread corruption. This is the warning, okay? And also, sisters, in our worldly life, this is what is going on. When you have a provision and you are not thankful to Allah, instead you are arrogant, Allah will send for you a warning. Okay? To remember. Remember, you are not on the right way. The provision will be taken back from you. Remember. Most of the people, they never realize the warning. Why? Because they are far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't know the laws of the Quran. This is one of the rules of the Quran. If there is someone who is far away from Allah, he has a lot of provision, okay, Allah will plan to take the provision and to destroy him. Okay, but Allah is the most merciful. Allah will send a warning. What is the warning? Suppose I am someone from those people. Cecilia will come and tell me, Sister Mona, you know, I want to tell you something. We need an Islamic school in Houston, and mashallah, you have a lot of words. You can build an Islamic school. Build an Islamic school. Sister Mona, come to the masjid and clarify to the people that your wealth is from Allah. Be thankful. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sister Mona, are you giving the charity to the pure people? Cecilia is the warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me. Okay? But the arrogant people whom their wealth made them to be blind, okay, they will not listen to that warning. Okay, I will tell to myself, who is Cecilia? What is this? She's coming to give me advices? Never. I will never listen to those people. Okay, why? Because the destruction is on the way. Okay, in one sentence was the reply of, Qarun, which was the reason for his total destruction. What was the reply for the advice? Actually, it is mentioned in verse number 78. He said, this has been given to me only because of the knowledge I possess. Okay. There is no Allah. There is no thankful to Allah. There is no mentioning of being thankful. There is nothing. Okay. He said, I have got this wealth through the knowledge I have, all by my own end over. So why you are trying to tell me how to use it? It is my private property. You know, sisters, again, I have to stop here. There are many people, okay, all over, you know, the world, and so long there is a worldly life, they are under this impression. My wealth is my private property. My wealth is because of my work and because of my struggle in life. None is supposed to give me any advice to be thankful to Allah or to give charity or to help the community. This is none of their business. This is my private property. This sentence equal to total destruction. One sentence. One point of view which we must learn. As a believer in the oneness of Allah, the basics of Islam, Allah is the creator of everything, accordingly He is the owner of everything, accordingly He is the provider of everything. Okay? So whatever I have or anyone have or all the life have is only from the provider. Because there are many people whom they work very hard and they never have any wealth. There are many people whom they struggle day and night and they never have any wealth. So the wealth is from the owner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qarun denied that fact. So he required the punishment. He is the one who was looking for the punishment. Okay? Because of this ungrateful attitude towards Allah's provision, okay, again a warning was issued to him. Okay, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for him another warning. Allah is warning him that if he believed himself to be powerful and rich, Allah has in the past destroyed communities that were far more powerful and wealthy. He should have known this because it is such knowledge that saved men from destruction. Okay, Allah said to him that others were more powerful and rich than him, but they were destroyed. So be aware, you will be destroyed. Okay? Now we will move to the second scene. This is the first scene. Okay? Now we will move to the second scene. In the second scene, Qarun has all this warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was his reply? He appeared before his people in all his pomp. Correct? Okay. Pomp? Pomp. In all his pomp. So the people were divided into two groups as usual. Now sisters, The scene, that scene, the second scene, is the scene which is going on in every community and in every time. Whenever there is a very rich person or a very powerful person or a very controlling person, okay, the people will be divided into two groups. The first group are those whom they cared only for the worldly life. They wish to have the great wealth of Qarun. It doesn't matter to them whether the price for this wealth is too high. If they pay their dignity or their honesty, no problem for them. Okay? If the method to have the money is too wicked through corruption, they don't care for that. Or for if the means are too low to have the money, they don't care for all of this. This kind of people, they are mentioned in verse number 79. So he went forth before his people in his bump. Those who were desirous of the life, of the worldly life, said, "Ah, would that we had the like of what Qarun has been given. Verily, he is the owner of a great fortune." Okay, this is their point of view. The other group of people, those whom they maintain their bond with Allah, they have different standard of values based on the real knowledge that Allah's reward is better by far than all that Qarun has. These sisters must be actually the rule for every believer. The reward of Allah is better by far than all what Qarun has. Those who maintain their bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are too noble to let the worldly consideration get the better of them. They realize that happiness is not related to the deceiving materialistic enjoyment. Rather, it is the acceptance of the mental peace. So, those people whom they have the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are patient despite being deprived of what they might wish for. Allah elevated their spirits to rise above all that life on earth can offer. Okay, so they seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to clarify to you this, sister, so that we can get the benefit of this second scene of Qarun value, of Qarun story. In verse number 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, but in verse number 80, Allah is saying, but those who had been given religious knowledge said, "Woe to you, the reward of Allah is better for those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and this none shall attain except to those whom they are patient." So sisters, in this worldly life, you must have true knowledge about the reality of the worldly life. You must realize that this worldly life is a test. This is number one. You must realize that the enjoyment of the worldly life, which are materialistic, are deceiving. And always question yourself. When you once in your life you were looking to have a new car, and you always believe that when I will have that new car, I will be very happy and I will live a very good life, and this car will help me to enjoy life, and I am so I am looking forward for that car. After you will have a car, you will feel the same happiness. You will be still believing that the car can be the source of happiness in your life? No. This never happened. For the car, for the house, for the kids, for the husband. Because this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no happiness in the materialistic, worldly enjoyment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, He wants the people to believe that the happiness is in the belief of Allah, in the right deeds, so that the people will be believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become believers. When they are believers, they will do the good deeds. So life will be a good life. And this is the goal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to allow the people to live a good life on this earth. How they can have a good life? When they believe that the best for them is to do good deeds and to have good manners, through believing that materialistic issues, enjoyments will never give me happiness. The happiness is through the mental peace. The happiness is through the acceptance of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O Allah, how can I accept your decree? How can I have mental peace? The answer from Allah, when you become a believer in the oneness of Allah, when you live your life according to the rules, and when you do good deeds in this worldly life. Okay? Those are the people whom they have the knowledge. This is the knowledge, sister, which every human being must seek. Not only the knowledge of, you know, the worldly life. As Muslims, we are commanded, you know, to work and to have good positions and to have good life in the worldly life. And we will have this through having the qualification, through studying to have the knowledge of the medicine and engineering and all of this. But this is not the only knowledge which every Muslim must seek. Every Muslim must seek in the priority the knowledge of the truth, so that through the knowledge of the truth, I can have a plan in my life. When I study to become a physician, okay, I must say that, oh Allah, I'm studying to become a good Muslim physician. I'm studying to become a good, well-mannered Muslim physician. I am studying to help the poor, to if they are, you know, very sick, and also I am helping the rich, but also the poor. If they will not pay for me, I will still help them. I will still take care of them. Because, oh Allah, this being a physician is for your sake. Okay, I want to be a good Muslim physician. If you have this intention as a physician, engineering, businessman, whatever, okay, Allah will reward you for every minute you study, you're studying, until you have your qualification. Every minute you are practicing, Allah will reward you. It will be an act of worship because it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, sister, the highest priority for the knowledge to seek is the knowledge of the truth. So that when someone will ask you why you are coming to the masjid, for example, why you are not enjoying the weather in Houston nowadays, you will tell her, because I have the knowledge of the truth. I need to know the knowledge of the truth. I am coming to have a plan in my life. I must have a reference for my life. I am coming to have the reference. When I have the reference, I can move safely in the worldly life. This is the knowledge which those people they have, okay, or they had, and they mention it to Qarun. Okay, Allah is mentioning at this verse of the Quran, sisters, that those people must be those whom they have patience. Okay, you cannot have any good thing in the worldly life, okay, except with patience. And you cannot be close to Allah except with patience. You cannot be a good believer except with patience. In your journey in the worldly life, the most important companion after the Quran is patience. In everything, with everyone, okay, this must be one of the quality of your personality. Okay, I am one of the patient for everything and with everyone. This is the only way you can have the truth, the knowledge of the truth, because it is not easy. This is the only way to follow the right path, because it is not easy, especially nowadays. Nowadays, these are the days of the corruption. Okay, when you look around, if you have 100 of the people, 100 of the Muslims, because we are talking about Muslims, if there are 5 out of the 100 following the right path, this is excellent. They must be having patience. Because when I look around and I noted that most of the Muslims, they are after the deceiving in materialistic enjoyments, 100%. When you ask one sister in the morning, Assalamu alaikum sister, how are you today? What is your plan? Actually, my plan today is that, number one, I am going for a 70% sale in Macy's. Okay, I will try to move around all Macy's. Okay, it is Macy's, correct? Oh, yes, Macy's. Okay, then after I will finish, you know, I will go and have my lunch in a good restaurant. Then I will go and take my my kids. My time actually is very tight. You know, I was planning to come to the masjid, but I don't have time because time is very tight. Yes, very, very tight. Then I will get my kids from the school. Then they will go for tennis. Then they will go for football. Then they will go for swimming. Then I will arrive home so tired. The day was very busy. So, sister, you don't have 1 hour for Allah? No. In reality, I don't have, because I was very busy. But at the end of the day, my dearest sister, did you enjoy the day? I was very tired. It was very hectic. I was very busy. I am not sure I was happy or not. I was under the impression that I will be happy in masses, but I was not so happy. I didn't find what I was looking for. During lunch, the food was not so good. My kids, they gave me hard time while driving all the day. It was not an easy day. Then sleeping. Then that's it. This is the worldly life. Where is the happiness? Where is the truth? Where is the knowledge? Where is Allah? Where is the real provision of Allah? Nothing. Then everyone, this sister will complain after 10 years that her kids, they never care for her. Everyone now is in the college and everyone has his own life. Okay, she cannot go to masses anymore because she already memorized masses. Okay, she has a lot of clothes. She's not going out. Okay, and life is about to finish. That's it. Okay. So, you know, sister, this is, you know, the reality of what is going on in the worldly life. This is the reality why most of the people are complaining of depression. This is the reality why most of the people are having antidepressants. Okay, this is the reality why most of the families are destroyed. This is the reality why divorce is 70% in the first year of marriage, because none has the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so they are living without a reference. They are living without rules. They are living without a plan. In reality, they are not living. Okay, but their biggest problem will be on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question them about this book. Because this book is the reference for the Muslim. On the Day of Judgment, every Muslim will say, "Oh Allah, I am a believer. Oh Allah, I believe in your oneness." Excellent. Okay. Why this is your record? There is nothing in the record except worldly enjoyment. Where is the Quran? Where are the rules? Where is the truth? Where is the knowledge? Nothing. Okay, sisters. So we must realize this. Okay, but we are after the provision. Lawful or no lawful, no problem. With the good people or bad people, no problem. To pay very high price for that, your dignity and honesty, no problem. And at the end of the day, everyone is saying, "I am a true believer in the oneness of Allah." They didn't read the Quran well. They didn't realize the end of the Qarun, which you will know it now in scene number 3. The scene of the story, okay, at the beginning of that scene, we will learn a law. It is when the attraction of the material bump is at its greatest, Allah intervenes in order to end the test and save the weaker elements of the community from such temptation. Okay, now we will read again from verse number 81. Okay, so that, sisters, you must realize that this will be the end for every evil human being whom Allah tested him or her with a lot of provision, and they never obey Allah or thank him. Oh Allah, what happened? So we caused the earth to swallow him and his dwelling place. Then he had no group or party to help him against Allah, nor was he one of those who could save themselves. This is Qarun, the very rich, the very powerful. Okay, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end his story. Okay, Allah, the all-powerful, send him and his dwelling. His dwelling, okay, where the treasures are inside. Okay, these great treasures, they went, okay, into the earth. The earth swallowed him. For example, I am sitting now, on that chair in front of that table. Okay, Allah will make the earth to open and to swallow me. Then it will close again. This is what happened to him. it swallowed him, okay, and it swallowed his pride also. Now he is powerless, weak, incapable of using his wealth or power to save him. This is the reality, sisters. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a warning, second warning. Allah will take the provision, then Allah will interfere with the disaster. Okay, and when the disaster will happen, everyone will question, oh Allah, why I have this calamity? Oh Allah, why I have this disaster? Try to remember. Try to remember your attitude towards the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to remember the warnings in your life, okay, which we always forget. The second question is, what happened to the people whom they actually were always looking to have his wealth? Okay, the disaster which he received made them to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so always remember that those people whom they are always trying to turn you away from Allah, okay, they will always forget about you. When any disaster will happen to you, they will escape themselves. This is none of their business. They will run away. This what happened with the people, you know, whom they were looking to have what Qarun had before. Okay, and we will read about them in verse number 82. Okay, you can read it. Verse number 82.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And those who had desired his position the day before began to say, know you not that it is Allah who enlarges the provision or restricts it to whomever he pleases of his slaves? Had it not been that Allah was gracious to us, he could have caused the earth to swallow us up also. Know you not that the disbelievers will never be successful?
Now, sisters, we will learn the lessons of this story. Number one, wealth is a test which can bring about a terrible end. Number two, wealth is not an indication of Allah's pleasure. Number three, Allah gives in plenty or in small measure to any of his servants for reasons other than being pleased or displeased with them. Had wealth been evidence of Allah's pleasure, he would not have punished Qarun so severely. At the end, the curtains are drawn with the victory of the believing hearts, because we must always believe that faith has the highest weight than any of the worldly considerations. The question is, who will be granted the happy life in the hereafter? The answer is in verse number 83. Okay,
you can read it. Mr. Rahman Rahim. That home of the hereafter, we shall assign to those who rebel not against the truth with pride and oppression in the land, nor do mischief by committing crimes. And the good end is for the mutakun, the pious.
Actually, sister, those who look at the earthly life, its concerns, values and standards with little interest, and they also have corruption far away from their minds, no thoughts of arrogance is ever entertained by them. They have the right sort of knowledge which will give things their proper value. Those are the righteous and the pious whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the happy life in the hereafter. So at the end of the story of Qarun, of tyrant Qarun, we will learn these following facts. Let us all learn that our evaluation for people has to be based on their reality. They are good or evil people. Regarding provision, it is not a sign of love of Allah. Rather, it is a test for the evil and the good ones. Allah provides the evil people a lot of provision, so it will be the way for their destruction. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you see that Allah gives a person what he wants, though he is persisting in sin, that means that Allah is getting him into destruction. We always need to remember that Allah loves the good people. Allah provides them according to His mercy and wisdom what is the best for them. And at the end, we must believe that the reward of Allah is the best provision ever. And inshallah, sister, next week we'll learn more about other examples of the Quran of those evil people, and we will learn about the destruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we will always try to be from those good people, inshaAllah. And now we will make the dua.